Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
We get football this week. We get football this week. Woo, woo. Three sleeps away from kickoff to 2021. Dak and those Cowboys heading to Tampa Bay to take on Brady and the defending champion Buccaneers, who are bringing everybody back. It is week one of NFL's biggest season ever, and it kicks off on Thursday night. We are here to celebrate that. We are here to give you the headlines on a Monday morning. We're live in New York City, Monday, September 6th. Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, my name is Kay Adams, Michael Robinson,
Jr. What's up, Michael? What's up,
brother? Me at the table. I appreciate it. What's going on,
guys? And how long do we have you?
All week. Yeah, I'm here all week.
Yeah, right.
And that leads up to Good Morning Football Weekend, of course.
Yes.
Saturday morning.
Absolutely.
Wait, have you missed doing that show?
I have missed it. I really miss doing it in studio, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to be here, you know, interacting with human beings. You know, it's the new normal now.
Great to see you. Great to have you. We've got so much to get to on the show, so let's get to Ian Rappaport in the lead block. Let's go.
Lead block.
Let's do it. Ian, welcome to the show. Welcome to kickoff week, kickoff game, of course, Thursday night. The Cowboys did get some unfortunate news about their four-time All-Pro guard, Zach Martin. What are the details there?
That's right. Zach Martin, one of the best players on their offense, actually the best player on their offense, according to running back Ezekiel Elliott, is likely to be out this Thursday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was placed on the COVID-19 reserve list because of a positive test. This is something that Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy announced yesterday, and he is going to be replaced by Connor McGovern. Here's what we know about Zach Martin's status. He has not yet officially been ruled out because he theoretically could go 48 hours symptom-free and then have two negative tests 24 hours apart. The problem is Zach Martin is having symptoms. So this seems unlikely. Not ruled out, but unlikely that he plays. And of course, for the Dallas Cowboys, this really has been, unfortunately, a theme over the past couple weeks. They have had 9 players in the last 2 weeks or so placed on the COVID-19 reserve list, including defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. Most of the people on the list are vaccinated, including Zach Martin. So we are wishing for him to return soon, but it is very clear the Cowboys unlikely to have one of their best players on Thursday.
Thank you so much, Ian Rappaport, for the update. Sarah, we'll have you on all show, giving us all the goods we need ahead of week one of the NFL season. Now, we've been waiting months for this matchup, this one. The schedule was released back in May. We circled it. We wanted to celebrate it. Dak's return to the field, of course. It happens to be up against the defending champs, bringing everybody back, and they both got high expectations. We have the Zach Martin news now. We know Dak's, you know, coming off an injury. Would a Cowboys week one win over the defending Super Bowl champions be a major upset, Kyle?
Hell no. Absolutely not. Not week one. There's no such thing as a major upset. There's upsets, but not major ones. Listen, I've seen teams get shocked week one. I've seen Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski teams get annihilated week one. It could happen. I don't know if it will, but it would not be a major upset. I don't believe in them in the first week of the season. I do believe in this, though. Do you know that the only Dallas Cowboys player on the NFL Top 100, the only one they had, Zach Martin. It's the best player,
baller,
I think. Zeke comes out and he hears this and he says, and this is an actual quote, he goes, Zach's the best player on our offense. And Zeke got to be like, you got to be kidding me. I got to go against this Bucs front without Martin? Like, take any of these guys. Take my eyes, but not my Martin. Because you know who they got to go up against? They got to go up against this maniac on the other side who's going to hunt Zeke all day. Watch Devin White. Blah, 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 blah. Like, that's what Zach Martin would be doing. Getting in his way. Leading Zeke through the hole. I've said for months, Dak this, Dak that, great. I really think that Ezekiel Elliott is the key to them beating the Bucs, and he just lost his bodyguard. He lost his lead block. He lost everything. Zach Martin is the best player on the Cowboys, top to bottom. He's the best player. The players even voted on it, and now he's out. This sucks. Yeah. I wish I had a more eloquent way of putting it. This sucks, and if I'm Zeke, I'm like, strap that thing on extra tight, Mike. I just lost my best guard, and I got to win 45. Lots of luck.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a struggle. It definitely is. Devin White, this defensive front for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, they were lights out against the run last year, and they have to recreate it again this year. But to me, the biggest issue with the Dallas Cowboys is making sure Dak Prescott is healthy and comfortable.
Okay.
Because when the guy's comfortable, he almost threw for 400 yards a game. You know what I mean? And I would debate you, Kyle, on who's the best player on this offense.
Okay.
When Dak is healthy, I'm not too sure there is another guy on that Dallas Cowboys team that's better, more impactful than Dak Prescott. Look at when he left out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Where did Ezekiel Elliott go? His numbers dropped off almost 50 yards a game. All right. What happened to the receivers? All of those receivers that we talk about may be the best trio in all of football. What happened to them without their number one quarterback being out there? So For me, it's about getting Dak Prescott as comfortable as possible. We heard Joe Burrow talk about this year about mentally how he wanted to get into preseason games so that he didn't want the first game of the season to be when he's thinking about bodies falling around his leg. I wish the Dallas Cowboys would have gotten Dak Prescott at least 3 handoffs, something. Just be out there calling the play.
Me too.
They did not. But I think if Dak Prescott is comfortable, you know, 3-step drops, getting the ball out fast, getting them comfortable, getting them into a rhythm, no, it would not be a shock. It would not be an upset. I agree. I don't believe in upsets in the first week. But this Dallas Cowboy team can shock a lot of people, and they can put everybody on the NFL on notice that they are for real this year. Yeah. Okay? That would be a little bit different than what we hear from the Dallas Cowboys on usual years.
Yeah. It's a huge if, though. That Tampa Bay defense, it's not just Devin White. It's Vita Vea in the inside. And it's JPP. And it's Shaq Barrett. And it's Sue. And then they've got the rookie Tryon, who they love, is going to be coming in. Like, it might be the best defensive front in all of football. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Zach Martin. Like, Lyle Collins missed all of last week with a neck stinger, so he hasn't been at practice. Connor Williams was on the COVID close contact. He hasn't been playing. He's going to be back. And then Connor McGovern, a second-year guard, is now filling in for Zach Martin. And it's like, all right, one after... And we haven't practiced at all or played together at all, and we're going up against the very best defender. I think it would be a major upset.
Major upset.
You think it would be a major upset?
In Tampa, with them raising the curtains and everyone coming back, and Tampa just dialed in. They've been playing in the preseason. They've been practicing together. They added talent everywhere. And it's no longer this, are we going to be good with Tom? It's like, no, we're the big dogs. Mm-hmm. You're coming into our building. I would be shocked if Dallas
but
came
But Peter, Tom is the only one that knows how it feels to be hunted. I know we've talked about it all season. It is a little bit different of a dynamic when you're on top of the food chain and everybody's chasing to get you. You know, again, I know you say it's a big loss, man. I mean, it would be a big upset. I just the first week of the season, Dallas is talented, man. I just don't think it'll
To your point about the Cowboys proving a lot and they're putting themselves on the map, I'll ask you, Kyle. If the Bucs drop this game week one, what do you really – does it change how you feel about the Bucs?
Not really, because I talk about this all the time. Yeah. Week one is a liar, a pathological liar. Last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars won week one. They're saying, oh, my God, Jacksonville's – then they lost 15 in a row.
And the Bucs were terrible. Not terrible, but they
– They look flat. They look bad. So I don't have – people have so many takes on that Monday. This team's terrible. This team's going to Super Bowl. They're all wrong. I just think, Peter, like, we could be here on that day and be like – CeeDee Lamb at 200 yards. He was incredible. Micah Parsons had a pick six. The Bucs lost.
I think the disparity from the defensive line to the offensive line is so overwhelming, it's going to be obvious. I feel like they're just going to be pushing the entire time. And Martin is not only their best guard, he's their guy on the offensive line to be like, all right, here's what we're doing. We're calling the shots. It's all young guys who've never played together. But here's the silver lining for the Cowboys. They lose this game. I don't see them winning this game.
Okay. All right.
Look at the rest of their schedule.
Monday morning. Here we go. We got already Monday. On record.
All right. It's like at Chargers, Eagles. I don't see a 500 or better team the first 9 weeks outside of Tampa Bay. The NFL, I don't know if the schedule makers did them a solid on this, but it was like, we're going to give you the hardest game to start the season. But then you've got 8 weeks where you better figure your stuff out or we're not going to be dealing with you in November and December this season. So, a loss is not the worst thing for the Cowboys. There is a lot of get-right games coming right afterwards. But it's Monday. I could change. We can all change.
I think the type of loss says
you can change. Everybody can change.
You mentioned the name CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, I could see him going for like 230. Yeah. And then us being like, all right.
But you know what's so funny about that schedule you pulled up? Like, that's all BS.
I know.
Peter.
Chargers could be
all BS. The Eagles could be 3-0. The Broncos could be. We don't know. No, but we'll know soon.
Here we go. Let's just be totally real here. You did the top 100 show.
Yeah.
Martin came up.
Only person.
And you heard from fans.
Tons.
Talking about how important he is. Did you feel like you like gained new respect for him after that experience? Because the second
question.
This happened, I thought of you and was like, oh, I wonder if did a deep dive on Zach Martin.
We did a game when we reacted to the top 100 and randomly a player would come up, 31, 82, 55, and me and James Jones had to say, this player's ranked too high or ranked right or too low. I got Zach Martin, and I decided to take a run at Zach Martin because the Cowboys were not good last year.
Also, I'm sure nobody else is taking
terrible. The offensive lineman nation out there, guys like Olin Krutz from the Bears and all these, destroyed me.
Zach
destroyed
is a baller, bro.
Like, because of that.
He is
that
a real
brings
ball.
Us to our point. I think Dak is obviously more impactful, but no one on the Cowboys is better at their position than Zach Martin. He's got a block. Vita and Devin.
Was anyone else on the show somewhat critical of any players in the
NFL?
That's what I said.
Not particularly.
No, right? So you take one for the team. You're trying to make good TV. I'll take a shot.
Every person. This guy's got to be higher. Tyler Lockett, are you kidding me? Oh, my God. So I had to take a stand. Unfortunately, it was on Zach Martin.
We're going to make picks on these games. We're going to make picks for the divisions. We're going to make Super Bowl picks, everything. Always. So this is the guy you go into every game with believing you could win and you should win. And they'll be criticized, I think, if they don't.
It's Monday morning, it's Labor Day, and it is week one of the NFL season. Does that feel good or what?
It's really good.
It is time for We In or We Out. Here's how it works. I'm going to say a statement. My colleagues are going to tell me whether they agree or disagree. And you at home are going to chime in as well. And let's start out in Denver. Denver, because it's prediction week here on GMFB. And Von Miller and Bradley Chubb have not been on the field together since week four, 2019. Well, Vaughn and Bradley, they are going to be out there week one against that New York Giants offensive line, and they're going to be looking to be feasting. The statement is thus: Von Miller and Bradley Chubb will be the pass rush duo with the most combined sacks this season.
Okay.
Are we in or are we out?
Oh, man. It's tough for me to say this because I love me some Von Miller, man. I'm going to say we're out.
We're out.
Just because Von's coming off the injury, things like that, you just don't know the division that they play in. I think teams will be able to take the pass rusher out of it. But there's some pass rush duos out here, guys. I like Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney had shown me so much. Mm-hmm. He's been disruptive, but I do think this year he'll get a lot more one-on-one opportunities and he'll step up. Mm-hmm. There's just too many pass rushing duos out here.
Any of the top 26? As a duo combined.
Maybe J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones out there in Arizona.
Okay.
Maybe he can revive his career.
I love that one. I haven't talked to that one. Peter, you said a couple years ago that Chubb and Vaughn had a shot to break the all-time. What was it again?
I think it was 39 and a half by the Vikings.
Okay.
Dolman and Millard.
And injuries and they're out. I'd love that to happen and come back. I'm out on this, though. I'll do the thumbs down. In these prediction weeks, sometimes you do the crazy ones, and sometimes you just go, like, stock. You just go the blue chip. I'm going with the Rams. I'm going to go Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd. Not only because they're Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd. They may have 9 sacks in week 1 against the Bears and get out to that. That's called a boat race. And I don't know if anybody's going to catch them. We know Leonard Floyd has a deep history with Chicago Bears. We know the Bears' offensive line did not look great. We know that they're choosing, at their own free will, to choose a quarterback who's not terribly mobile, even though they have one who is. I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm going to go with Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd for several reasons. What do you got, Adams?
I got too many questions. This comes down to questions for me, I feel like. Questions on Vaughn, questions on J.J. Watt, questions on Clowney. Mm-hmm. So how is it that the team that just won a Super Bowl and the pass rush duo that has 3 Super Bowl championships among them is not being mentioned? I'm going to go Shaq Barrett and JPP, because it wasn't even just this last year or this run to the Super Bowl. We're just a measly year away, a year removed from them combining for 28 sacks together back in 2019. How on earth is Shaq Barrett so slept on? Why is he not talked about in the conversation with Von Miller and Myles Garrett when he had a 19 and a half season under his belt? We talk about Chandler Jones whenever they talk about Shaq Barrett, and it's not cool. So I'll go with those two, because it hasn't just been a year straight, it's been sustained success.
And one of the great things about Shaq Barrett, it's never about me. It's all about the team, and they appreciate it, and I know he loves being there.
Those defensive tackles help him out.
Yeah, they do. Sue and Vea.
See you on Thursday.
One duo out there we didn't mention, Chase Young and Montez Sweat. Oh,
I have it written down. I didn't say it, but I do have it written down.
I did not have it written down. Good one.
It's a fun thing for us to follow this season, right? Well, let's also follow Philadelphia Eagles, because we don't know what we're getting from this team. And on Friday, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni joined our virtual breakfast table. We asked him about getting his new team on one of his favorite segments on our show, Angry Runs. Here was Coach Sirianni discussing his running backs getting angry.
I look forward to our guys being on that segment this year with Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott, really, and Jordan Howard. You know, so I think that segment always starts with what you do up front. And I'm really excited about this group that we have up front. And I'm just really excited about it. Really good offensive line, great offensive line coach, and Jeff Stoutland. And you know, they get it started. They get that momentum of the back building so that back can smack into that guy and finish that off for the angry run. So it all starts up front. I'm looking forward to watching it this year. I want that, the scepter, is that what we call it?
Scepter.
I want the scepter in Philadelphia. That's what I'm excited about. I want to hear.
We were fired up. He was fired up. It was a great interview. And Eagles running back Miles Sanders is making a big comeback this season after missing some time last year. A Penn State guy, Mike Robinson, like yourself. Here's my statement. Not Zeke, not Saquon, not Antonio Gibson, but Eagles running back Miles Sanders will lead the NFC East in rushing yards this season. You hear the coach talk like that about getting that angry run. Kyle, we in or we out?
Yeah, how could I not get fired up about that? That's an unbelievable answer. I'm going Antonio Gibson. Sorry, coach. I'm going to go Antonio Gibson. I love this dude. I remember sitting around eating buffalo chicken dip on Thanksgiving Day of the year 2020. I believe this is the footage right here.
Oh, what a time.
It's in the Peter Schrager club of he just scored again against the Cowboys. Can we say it about Raheem Mostert?
Raheem Mostert's my usual.
It's the Raheem Mostert club. He just scored another touchdown. And I saw a future, and I love the way Gibson runs. It's a no-nonsense style. It's north and south. It's very Ron Rivera. I love the burst from him, and I think he's going to do big things this year. I love Gibson. I love him so much. I drafted him way high in fantasy, probably irresponsibly high.
Good.
That's my guy. I took him. I like him. That's my guy.
I almost had him inside the top 12. You take him as your RB1?
Yes.
I love that.
Crazy.
I don't hate that.
Okay, good.
Like
good. I think he's going to soar. Get him on their way up.
I'll give it to Miles Sanders here.
Okay.
The only person who loves Saquon more than me is sitting to my left over here.
Yeah,
so maybe you'll talk about him. I understand Zeke and his upside. Miles had a down year. I think it was injuries, inconsistencies. It's a very small sample size that he has with the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. But in those three games, he averaged over 100 yards per game in those three starts. Having Hurts out there helps open up the run game. We all know that. It's clear. If he can stay healthy, it's a good offensive line, as Coach was saying. I'm here for it. It is crazy to me. Speaking of fantasy, Kyle, looking where our guy Miles Sanders is going, you get to a decision in your draft where it's, do I want Miles Sanders, who has top five potential, or do I want Mike Davis? Miles Sanders is being so slept on. Grab him in fantasy, people.
Yeah, I'm going to say we're out on this. Miles, don't text me, man. This has nothing to do with you.
We are.
Penn State, you know, we had a great win this past weekend.
Yeah, baby.
We in Wisconsin.
In a whole other segment. I've never
jump around. Jump around.
Please don't
let your buffer get beat down.
That's awesome. Are you proud that I saw that?
That's really cool.
I even got to meet
Hell yeah.
That song gets on my nerves. But anyway, I'm going to say we're out on Miles Sanders leading the NFC East in rushing. I do think this is going to be a rebound year for a Ezekiel Elliott. I do think having Dak back, having a guy back that can throw the extra guy out of the box is going to help a Zeke. I think Zeke's found out last year that maybe he isn't always as good as he thinks he is, and I think he has a new focus going on this year. I like Antonio Gibson in this division as well. I think Saquon is going to have something to say about the rushing. So, yeah, I think he's going to have something to say.
Okay, good.
And obviously they were teammates, so they're going to go back to their rivalry like they were in college.
That.
Actually, Saquon is the one that kept Miles Sanders off the field, which is crazy that a team had both of these backs. But, I'm going to have to give it to Zeke and possibly Saquon coming in second.
It's interesting because you talk about motivation. And if we asked this question 2 years ago or even last year, we all would have said Saquon.
100%.
We went around, you had Antonio Gibson, Miles Sanders, Ezekiel Elliott. Saquon's almost the fourth in the conversation. Mm-hmm. So if he's listening right now, this not only should motivate Miles Sanders and the Eagles, it should also motivate Saquon Barkley and the Giants.
No doubt.
We in, we out.
We in, we out. That's it. Are we in on Mac Jones? Are we in on Zach Wilson? Did any of us pick them as our choice for Offensive Rookie of the Year? That's right. Prediction Week is here on Good Morning Football. Let's talk rookies next. The 2021 season kicks off on Thursday. We could not be more excited. So before any regular season action takes place, we're pulling out all of our biggest predictions for this season. It happens every year. It's called Prediction Week. This is Prediction Week 2020. Yes, for our first prediction here, it's very serious. We take it, this is big time. We have to stew over this. We also don't talk about it with each other. We have no idea who each other is going to pick. So we'll do offensive and defensive rookies of the year. Let's start things off on the offensive side of the ball. We'll go around the table. Shregs, you are up.
All right, five quarterbacks were taken in the first round. I would argue no quarterback went to a better situation and went to a better place than the guy in my teleprompter right now.
That's my prediction, Peter.
You can only say it so many times.
You saw it coming.
I got my first prediction right.
Yes, you did.
I'm
yes,
one for
did.
One. Go ahead, Peter. Who are you going with?
We got it. Mac Jones is my offense.
Oh, awesome.
I think Mac Jones is going to be outstanding in this offense from day one. No one is joining a better situation where there are skill positions that were added They spent about $180 million on the offense this offseason to give him two tight ends, wide receivers, a rebuilt offensive line. And, oh, yeah, he goes to a team that has Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels in his corner. He's the starting quarterback. He's number one from go. I think he's going to roll out, and they are going to be successful this season. If you believe in the Patriots with Mac Jones, you have to think that this team is going to win some games, and they like to vote Rookie of the Years to the guys who have the most team success as well as individual numbers. I think Mac Jones is going to be the offensive Rookie of the Year as long as he stays healthy and as long as he does what they expect him to do. Mac Jones, I see a fifth quarterback taken, but first in my Rookie of the Year
predictions. I love it. Mike, you're going to go next.
Yeah, I like that Mac Jones pick. I'm going to stick with the quarterbacks. I'm going to go with Zach Wilson in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not so sure he's going to have the best team success or better success than out there in New England, but I do think he'll play better. The arm talent, guys, you just can't overlook that. The arm angles, the different off-platform throws that this kid makes. And I love the offense that he's in, too. That Michael Floor offense, very QB-friendly. They're going to try to run the football. They have a massive offensive line who's very capable of blocking guys in front of him. And this kid has shown in the preseason that he can handle the throws. It's not too big for him. Look at that throw right there. I just want him to make the best decisions possible in every single play. And I think if he does that, he's going to have a great rookie season that ends with the offensive rookie of the year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty cool because, you know, don't necessarily think they got to get to the playoffs. Justin Herbert last year, Kyler Murray the year before, offensive rookies of the year. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
All right, so we got all these great quarterbacks. And I'm going to pick the only one in the first round who's not going to start and not going to play this weekend. I'm going with Justin Fields. I think it's going to happen. I'm not joking. I'm not doing shtick. I think this Andy Dalton thing will be remedied very quickly. And I think Justin Fields is going to be a sensation.
You think he takes over week one?
Maybe in the middle of the game.
Really?
And if it's not week one, I think it'll be week two. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a freezing cold take. Maybe he doesn't play a snap. I don't think so. I think this is going to be Deshaun Watson the second he hits the field. It's going to be Mr. 7A. We're going to talk. He's going to be one of the biggest stories of the year. I believe in him that much. I know the Dalton thing is messy, and he's going to have to be incredible to get a late start behind some of these guys. He will be. I'm going Justin Fields, totally unironically, dead serious, number one Chicago Bears offense rookie.
You know what, Kyle? Justin Fields, I mean, that offensive line is terrible. I don't need to talk about squad like that.
Dicey.
But they're
Ramsey quad.
And his movement ability will help the offensive line. It'll help the run game. It'll help all of that. Again, I've said it before. This kid would have to play himself out of the starting job if I was Matt Nagy.
Okay, so he thinks middle of the game, week one or week two. Peter and I are very much on the same. Like, okay, week five, week six. Like, Dalton's going to play a handful of games. Where do you stand?
I think about week four or five,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they'll give him some time. Mm-hmm. I think they will.
Don't That's cry. I'm your offensive rookie of the year. I'm going to go with a non-quarterback. I'm going to go with the physically the most gifted and talented person who was drafted this past year, Najee Harris. That's exactly where I'm going. I know there's questions about the offensive line with the Steelers, but there's just some talent that you kind of, it transcends. It's okay. And we saw it in the preseason. Look at what he did. It was incredible on the ground. He's got the bruising running style. And he's a natural receiver. He talks about it a lot. He's going to be used in that Le'Veon Bell sort of way. Look at, I just can't wait to see this happen. So this is a kid that you cannot take out of the game no matter what you do. No matter how bad your offensive line is, no matter what the defense has planned, he'll be all over it every week. So I think he's got a great shot at offensive line.
And Big Ben will check the ball down. He's one of those guys that will check it down and get it to the back. Guys, don't overlook that guard out in Kansas City.
Trey Smith, sixth round pick.
I'm telling you, watch him on tape.
A sixth
the
round pick.
The dude is
guard.
A road grader.
I think he's
okay.
The,
I'm not saying he's going.
No,
I'm just saying keep your eyes on.
We don't mention
that's all I'm saying.
We don't mention confidence. We talk Trey Smith.
Amazing. Not Trey Lance. Trey Smith.
I'm just saying.
I love
man.
It.
I got to know a little bit. I did the sideline for the preseason. He was at all anyone talking. I just love that you just brought him in.
Guard. I'm just saying.
Didn't you do a whole segment on him?
I did. I wouldn't pick an offensive guard to the rookie of the year.
I'm just saying, keep your eyes on him,
man. Defensive rookie of the year predictions, and you guys can, of course, hit us up at GMFB. Let us know what you think, and let's do the same order. Shregs, who you got?
All right, I'm not going with a first-round pick. I'm going with a second-round pick for my defensive rookie of the year, and it's Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa.
Hey, now.
The Cleveland Browns. He's going to be wearing number 28 for the team. And I think he's going to play a huge role in this defense. We know up front what they've got already, and we talked about Clowney and Garrett on the outsides. And then, of course, on the defensive backfield, they loaded up with John Johnson and Greg Newsome and Troy Hill. But this guy's a heat-seeking missile, and he's wearing 28.
That's what I'm about to say. He's 28?
28, which is it's so misleading because you're seeing 56 or 55 for your linebacker. 28 is going to be all over the field for the Cleveland Browns. I think the Browns are going to be outstanding this season, and I think their linebacker, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, will be the defensive rookie of the year.
Is this the first time in Good Morning Football history that two people picked the same person?
Are you going the same way?
I'm going
Let's go!
He's explosive. He's quick. His preseason tape is absolutely insane. Everything that we've seen so far. This, you know, we're talking Trey Smith and his value defensively. Was there a better value in this draft than taking him in the second round? So I think Cleveland got a steal. I think he is the defensive rookie of the year. I don't think we've ever picked the same person.
Oh, my goodness.
It's awesome.
All right, let's go. Mike Robb next.
No, that is awesome because I can see a quarterback looking at the line of scrimmage and really not knowing how to identify that kid. Is he a DB? Is he a linebacker? Yes. Does the offensive line take him? I'm going to go with Mike. Micah Parsons. I don't care if you think it's a homer pick because he went to Penn State or whatever. The dude is probably going to be the best defensive rookie in the National Football League. The dude is a playmaker. He's a run-seeking heat missile, whatever you want to say.
A heat-seeking missile.
There you go. I said the words a little bit mixed up. He's going to be able to rush the passer. They're going to put him in a position called the Leo, right, which is kind of a DN, kind of an outside linebacker position at times. He's going to be able to rush the passer. He can cover backs and tight ends out of the backfield. And when he gets to you in a violent way. He's a franchise personality. I'm telling you, this kid is going to take the league by storm. Micah Parsons, 2021 Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I love it.
We're going to talk a lot about him this week. He got a game Thursday night,
yes,
man.
He does.
Like, he's got to go against Hall of Famers on the road. I can't wait to watch him. You know what I love watching? I love corners who come flying out of the gates. Marcus Peters won Defensive Player of the Year. Yep. Then you got to go back to Charles Woodson, and then you got to go clear into the 80s. And I think it's going to be 2021 in the Denver Broncos. Patrick Surtain.
Let's go.
Patrick Surtain. The way you get this award, the way you get any award as a corner, you got to have picks. You can't have passes defense. You can't have good cut. You got to get picks. Ball hawk, guys. Ball hawk. And let me just say one thing. It's time now. The season is starting. To all broadcasters, to all media members, it's Surtain. It's the professional. I know it looks like Surtain. I get it. It's tricky. But if these guys can say Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, whatever the hell it is, you can say Patrick Surtain. And I think that name will be said when they announce the Defensive Rookie of the Year with all they got going there in Denver. I think they chose the conservative route with Teddy Bridgewater, which means they're like, defense, get us home. Surtain, grab that thing and go. Patrick Surtain Jr. or the second, whichever you prefer, Defensive Rookie.
Let us know how you feel at G McPhee when we've got more Good Morning Football up ahead. Steelers, Bills this Sunday afternoon. It will be the only second time that Allen and Roethlisberger have
Bills.
Yeah. Just one of a ton of awesome quarterback matchups slated for the weekend. Let's go in the pocket and break down this quarterback battle, guys. What do we expect to see from these two come Sunday? I want to see Ben throw it all over the field.
I'm curious to see what we get from Ben Roethlisberger. New offense with Matt Canada as the offensive coordinator, and I'm hoping it's not what we saw at the end of last season where it was a depreciating asset, and it was like, all right, Ben just doesn't have it anymore. We want to see this. We want to see Ben fired up. We want to see him throwing the ball all over the yard like he was doing the first 11 weeks of the season. We know what we're getting from Josh Allen. Maybe I'm being spoiled on this. I think it's just a pleasure to watch that guy play quarterback right now, and I think he's got to be one of the favorites for MVP, if not the favorite going into the season. Ben, I have no idea. And I think if you're in on Ben, you're in on the Steelers. And if you think Ben's not, you're not on the Steelers. So I'm curious to see what we get and what version of Ben Roethlisberger. New offensive line, new running back, new offensive coordinator. Does that necessarily mean new Ben? I don't know. But the old Ben that we saw at the end of last season was not a boot of confidence, nice, a boost of confidence.
Nice little sample size, though, in the preseason if you're taking
good.
Shots downfield.
Really good.
This feels, in a lot of ways, like a changing of the guard.
It does.
Like, big, mobile guys come into the league, start tearing it up. Ben's on his way out. Josh is like the new Ben. But my question, I think the Bills are going to be awesome. My question for the Steelers and Ben is, like, who is Ben's guy? Who is his number one receiver? Who is his go-to guy? If they're going to win this game, if they're going to win anything of substance this year, like, they need one of these guys to emerge because it's Deontay and it's Juju and it's Claypool. That's fine. And I don't care about their stats from last year. Who is going to be the 3rd-and-12 guy when they to beat Buffalo? Because I know Josh Allen has his guy. He's got his guy. His name's Diggs. It's no problem. I just want one of these guys to emerge as the guy. And I don't want the 80 catch, 60 catch fit. It's not about that. It's about the one catch that when they need it on 3rd-and-9 and they're down 6 and they got to go the length of the field, who does he go to? I don't know who it is. I don't even know if Ben knows who it is. They're ready to let Juju walk. He comes back. It was they want it to be Deontay. There's a lot of drops, and then Claypool, Young, and Raw. So watch the big downs in this game, the thirds and longs and everything. Who does Ben look to? It might tell us a lot about how this game goes.
Great point.
Yeah, Peter, you talk about going back to the old Ben, or possibly not going back to the old Ben of last year. I would say let's go back to Ben early in his career when he would win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. When it was less Ben Roethlisberger's arm, more defense, more running the football, more play action being explosive down the football field. That's how you win in this league. And to me, ever since this Pittsburgh Steelers team has had to exclusively lean on Ben Roethlisberger's arm, they've been a great fantasy team with a lot of numbers, but they haven't done much in the playoffs. And I think Mike Tomlin wants his team to do something in the playoffs. But it's the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. Like, I can't even say any more glowing things about Josh Allen. I mean, Peter, you talk about this guy might be the super, might be the MVP frontrunner. Yes, he is. I don't know if he's an arm talent better. I used to call him 1B if Patrick Mahomes was 1A. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to change that now. I think this guy may have the best arm talent in all of football, and he's only getting better. Then you add Emmanuel Sanders to the equation. He's already had Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, some of those guys on the outside. Now you add Emmanuel Sanders to the middle of that field.
Look at that pass.
Look at this throw right here. He didn't even break stride. What about the throw in the preseason across the middle of that post? It looked like he placed it in the receiver's
hand. The touchdown to Gabe Davis in the preseason was insane.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was a short arc throw with some firmness to it. There isn't a guy throwing the football in the National Football League like Josh Allen. Yes, and this may be early. He's going to win the MVP. I don't care. I know we got that later on. Go on, Mike. He's going to win the MVP. I'm going to say it today, and I'll say it again when we do the segment. Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the National Football League, and I'm looking to see this Buffalo Bills team be the last team standing.
You've been saying this for years now. There's a lot of people who've loved Josh Allen during last year, and it's all what noise. You said this, he's going into his fourth year. It was going into his second year. You were all in on the Bills, even without a run game, with some questions, with the reputation the Bills have had. You were all in. Why is this year different? Because you've been riding them for 3 years now.
Well, it's the natural progression. I've seen this team get better every single year. The general manager and Sean McDermott, they literally take care of the line of scrimmage every single year. They take care of whether this year they got the pass rushers, right? The kid out of Miami, Gregory Rousseau, and the other kid, Boogie Basham. Yeah. So they take care of the offensive line. They take care of the defensive line. They're just structured right. When you're structured
right.
This is
the year?
Hey, man.
KC Nasty,
I might be saying that, but I can't give it away, Kay. Yeah.
Okay. I like it. @GMFB. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. 2021 season kicks off on Thursday, but couldn't be any more excited here at the breakfast table. So before any regular season action goes down on the field, we're pulling out our biggest predictions this season. We call it Prediction Week 2021. It's very serious. We don't even know who each other are picking. It is not in the prompter, at least it better not be, or that vein that sometimes appears somewhere on Kyle's forehead. I think it's right here. Just the cool go and jet out. But I think they took it out of the prompter. Do you feel good about it?
No.
You didn't? Well,
why would I?
Earlier in the show, we each revealed our picks for 2021 Rookies of the Year, defensive, offensive. Now it's time to tell you about Coaches of the Year. Kyle, it's not in the prompter.
Yeah. That's all right. I can see Peter's up here. David Culley. Yeah.
Incredible
prediction. Coach Culley went with the man. Listen, if you look in the history of Coach of the Year, they love the first-year head coaches. Love it. So you got to look, is it Sirianni or Urban? Or who knows? I'm not going to do that because I think there was a wrong that's going to be righted. Last year, Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year, and good for him. The Browns were great.
Should have won it.
The Browns were 11-5, didn't even win their own division. Meanwhile, my pick for this year on a makeup call, Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills last year went 13-3, seemingly ended the New England empire, went to the title game. This dude has shown up, brought the Bills back from 25-some years, got them to the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor as their quarterback, and now they're to the title game, and he doesn't have any Coach of the Year. The Bills! I understand Stefanski did God's work with the Browns. He didn't do that man's work. They are now a no-nonsense, all-business organization. He works out in the driveway, he comes on Good Morning Football, and he takes the Buffalo Bills to the title game and maybe even farther. This year. Sean McDermott, Coach of the Year. Yes, Peter.
13-3 last year and didn't win it. So what does he have to do this year to win it? 14-3?
14-3. Okay. That's the math. It is a gift from the NFL that we have one more game with which Sean McDermott can now win the NFL Coach of the Year. You brought the Bills to the title game.
I love that.
It's been a long time. We got to do this.
Okay, so back to your stand. Like, it's either going to be a great coach has an unbelievable season, like the John Harbaugh year where they won with the Ravens and went 14-2, or it's just that first-year coach, the Nagy, the McVays, where the Stefanskis, where it's like, all right, we didn't expect this team to be as good. But is there that in-between? Is there that team that no one's really expecting to make a splash, and then, oh, my God, they won the division? Well, that's impressive. I'm going to go with Joe Judge of the New York Giants.
Go run Gashers, Peter.
I think it's an old-school mentality. And
really?
Gosh, if you've watched their preseason this year, you are not enthused because their offensive line looks terrible. Terrible. But we haven't seen Saquon. We haven't seen Galladay.
That's right.
We haven't seen Kadarius Toney. I don't think we've seen the full arsenal yet, and I think it's boom or bust for the Giants this year. They might, I think Judge is safe, but they might want to look at some new decision makers, might make a lot of changes, and look at a new quarterback if it doesn't work out this year. But if it does, I think it's going to be overcoming a lot of obstacles and a lot of naysayers. Look, I don't think I love the fact that four players retired during training camp over the coaching way they were operating. I don't think I love the fact the offensive tackles could not block anything in the preseason.
Nothing.
But I do love the fact that he's about discipline, he's about coaching, he's about accountability, and he's had the support of his quarterback. Mm. I'm sink or swim with the Giants. I think I'm swimming. I'm going Joe Judge, Coach of the Year 2021.
Can I give you, would you rather? They both go 10-7 and get to the playoffs. Would you give Coach of the Year to Joe Judge or Sean Payton?
Ooh.
Those are two incredible. I think
that's Sean Payton. Yeah.
I think you got to go Sean Payton.
Yeah.
I think you got to go Sean Payton.
Can't let a Hall of Famer leave.
What they're dealing with right now.
We'll get to my prediction in a second, but Michael, go for it.
Ooh wee. You know what? For me, I'm gonna have to go Sean McVay.
Okay.
Sean McVay.
Second time, two-time winner.
Yeah, I got to go Sean McVay. First of all, to have the intestinal fortitude to be able to draft a quarterback in the first round and then say bye to him. Just say bye. We don't want you no more. You know, and totally live in that truth. And then he gets Matthew Stafford, raves about him. I think Matthew Stafford, again, as I said before, he's one of the top five arms in this league right now. You bring over Sony Michel, you bring over Deshaun Jackson, a guy who runs straight through zones. He still has the speed. I think the Rams are in for a huge season. Their defense, yeah, they lost their defensive coordinator, but they still have Jalen Ramsey. They still have Aaron Donald. I don't need to say nothing else about the defense, okay? I think the Rams go to do something better than they haven't done in a long time. I'm not going to make that prediction
Which means winning.
But Sean McVay. Sean McVay. Wins the 2021 Coach of the Year.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. I didn't see you going that way, Mr. Seattle.
Kyle took a little bit of my thunder.
I know.
I'm sorry. We don't know the picks.
You know I'm on your television.
I also, of course, thought Matt Rhule.
Yeah, Matt Rhule's a good choice.
You know I love Carolina, and I feel like if he brings his team into the playoffs from a 5-11 season last year, new quarterback, all of that, he'd be interesting. Also Shanahan, because if he gets that two-quarterback thing working, actually, and that team will be successful. Mm-hmm. But at the forefront of the conversation, if they're successful, and I think there's lots of playoff spots up for grabs in the NFC, it is Sean Payton. If he can, after 15 years with Drew Brees, get the best out of Jameis Winston, something Bruce Arians was not able to do as the number one overall pick down there in Tampa Bay, without Michael Thomas to start the year, it's got to be Sean Payton. They have Kamara. They still have a top five defense. And if Jameis truly has grown and evolved and gotten better, why not? It's crazy to think Payton hasn't won the award since, 2006? That season
something
with Brees.
Like that, yeah.
He's had so much success since then. Never a Super Bowl win, of course. Never that deep roll into the playoffs.
They got their win. He got their ring in 2009, and I think it's been a while, though.
Yeah, you got a Hall of Fame quarterback. You should have more than that.
First season with Brees, 2006, was his only time winning the award. So much success since then, including a Super Bowl. Weird that he hasn't gotten the love since.
If he doesn't, they have to play their opening game in Jacksonville, too.
If
he has to take them on the road, whatever that situation, that's not one we're all rooting for, too.
Take me into this. What really matters? What is it, narratives? Like, we're saying, like, that matters. The adversity matters. Who's voting? How does this work?
Yeah, I mean, Sean Payton, obviously, they went to the NFC Championship that year, but it was a story of post-Katrina and, let's lift up all these boats. Like, there's always a story to it. So for the Bills for McDermott to get it this year, they're going to have to be the best team.
I know.
For McVay to get it, they're going to have to be the best team. Joe Judge needs to make the playoffs. Sean Payton could be a really cool story. If they have an awesome narrative where this team overcomes everything and Jameis is revitalized, it would be hard not to vote him in.
Who's voting?
The writers. 50
so, like,
writers.
When Shanahan's like, I'm not saying it. When a coach is prickly, does it matter?
Probably not. Yeah. The results speak for themselves.
Belichick's won three times, so.
There we go. Yeah.
But I think the one love is from the ashes building something up.
Yes.
Meaning Urban Meyer this year. 1-15, like a terrible team that gets to 9 wins from one win. I think that is the absolute favorite. So you got to look at him. You got to look at Saleh.
I was about to say Robert Saleh.
Saleh for sure. Even Sirianni, like those, and they love the first-timers. If you pull up the list, it's so many first-year head coaches, tons.
Yeah.
Those guys, sort of the favorites, even though you think, oh, their team's not that good.
Did anybody give thought to Belichick here?
I did. Ooh, I really did.
No. That's a good question.
It was tough because, you know, I love my Bills. They're in the same division. But I did give some thought to Bill Belichick. I mean, you can't lose a guy like Tom Brady and think that there won't be any repercussions. There wouldn't be any type of deals there. You drafted a quarterback in the first round for the first time, I don't know, forever, in all of Bill Belichick's time there. You spent some money in the offseason. It seems like to me Bill Belichick, if you just look at his moves this offseason, he's admitting that he hadn't been that good in scouting over the last couple of years. He's admitting that he didn't have the right tools around Tom Brady the last year he was there.
I just wonder if we're sitting here in January and we're talking about the Patriots going to the AFC Championship. Are we surprised at all?
Well, they got to get past the Bills for
that. You'd be shocked. I don't know.
The rookie quarterbacks, it just doesn't happen much. Even if Mac Jones was great, the AFC title game, the AFC is so good. I would be shocked.
Would you be shocked?
I would be surprised. It's a lot to get, especially with the Bills, the Chiefs, the Browns, the Ravens. Like, there's some powers in the Titans. We didn't mention Andy Reid or Bruce Arians.
It's a great, great point.
Maybe we're bored. Maybe we're spoiled, but both
Bruce
those
Arians
guys
has won it twice, too, already.
Yeah.
Ron Rivera's won it twice.
Yeah.
Washington. Who
That's knows? A great story, yeah, too, down there.
Yeah, that is a good story.
Clearly, we don't know.
We don't.
What do you guys think out there? Let us know at GMFP.
Mike Zimmer fans.
Our predictions. We've got Sean McDermott to Kyle. Peter chooses Joe Judge. Didn't see it going that way, Peter.
I did not.
Mike Robb goes with Sean McVay, sort of putting feelers out for another prediction maybe later this week. Weird. And I say Sean Payton if things break right with all the adversity down there in New Orleans. We're keeping the predictions coming all week. We'll make sure to tune in. Lots of headlines on this Monday morning. Happy Labor Day to you. Thanks for choosing us this morning on your holiday. Hope you are well rested as we hit the headlines. And sometimes there's a lot of things we want to talk about on the show. We can't quite squeeze into the rundown. So we put them in one segment. We call it Monday Mishmash. Here's everything you need to know as the guys debated here at the breakfast table. Ahead of the 2021 regular season, Judy Batista, she put together a list of 56 things to watch this year leading up to Super Bowl 56, including things like the impact of the 17-game regular season, the anticipation of Brady's return to New England, and many, many more. And she covers all 32 teams. I read it. It's great. Go check it out at NFL.com. What would be the one thing to watch, your one thing to add to that list, Shrags, for this year?
You know, Aaron Rodgers, I almost feel like it's a senior year of high school feel to it, where, like, this is the last year I'm going to be with you guys. We know that going in.
Let's party.
Let's have a good time. But let's leave it all out there, and let's make memories. That's what I think this is for Aaron Rodgers. I don't think in good conscience I could say that I see him in a Packers uniform next year, unless they magically have this great run and they patch things up and they figure it out. I think it's going to be a whole offseason. If you thought this past offseason was a lot of Rodgers, just wait till next offseason when it sounds like he's going to be on the market and maybe picking a new team or be traded to a new team. Whatever it is, we've got one last dance. This is that Jordan feeling where, hey, Scotty, I know you weren't happy. Let's go to work and let's find a way to win this thing and go beat the Utah Jazz. I think Rodgers is going to go nuke him on this entire league, and I think he's going to be amazing this year. Senior year of high school season for Aaron Rodgers. That's what I'm looking
for. Throw out a memory for your senior in high school, Peter, you and your bros. How'd you do it?
Oh, well, we had an amazing, amazing trip to Cancun, Mexico.
Hey!
I love that.
MTV spring break.
This was pre-Facebook. We all worked our butts off, and we got to Cancun. Thank God there are no photos to tell the story.
That's pretty dope, man. Well, for me, I'm going to use, you know, your coach of the year, Joe Judge, and I'm looking at his quarterback. To me, can Daniel Jones take the next step is a huge question mark for me, because if you look at this New York Giants team, if he can just be serviceable, okay, just be serviceable, just don't turn the ball over. Yeah. 22 interceptions in the last two seasons, 39 total turnovers in the last two seasons, by far the most in the National Football League. If he could just be serviceable, I truly think this New York Giants team can be the most complete team. I ain't gonna say the best team,
okay,
but the most complete team in the NFC East. And I really think it's riding on Daniel Jones. How many times have we watched the Giants game and he's about to get sacked? And you're just like, just throw it away, dude. Just throw it away. Something bad is about to happen. And then something bad happens. And then everybody else gets blamed for it. Daniel Jones, this is your year. If I'm Dave Gettleman, I'm really looking at the quarterback position. If you don't put up this year, you might want to shut up and take a job somewhere else.
I like this.
This is good. You ever run into like a fan who's, oh, I love the show. And I always say to them immediately, I go, oh, who's your team? And they go, Giants. And I'm like, why are you saying it like that? This is exciting. They always apologize and say Giants. Daniel Jones needs to change that. What I'm looking at this year is just scoring offense. Are we in the middle of some sort of boom? Is the bubble going to burst? What am I talking about? Last year was by far the highest scoring year ever. And Judy hits this in her column. 2020, 12,692 points. It is almost 700 points higher ever. Think about it. That's 100 touchdowns more than the league has ever seen. And that's before we even moved to the 17-game schedule. So, like, don't you feel like right now we are watching evolution happen? It's not just athletes like Lamar. We just saw a tight end get picked fourth overall. Last year, the rookie passing record was broken. The rookie receiving record was broken. We're talking about quarterback tandems back and forth. Like, things are changing. Things are happening. This is not just hand the ball off 30 times or even throw it 30 times. Mike Brown's going on about it's all Zoom motion. Everybody wants a Tyreek Hill. Peter's talking about these random players are going to be huge parts of offense. It's changing. And will we break the all-time scoring record? I don't know. But the way they draft, the way they recruit, everything, it's like changing right in front of us. And I think this is going to be the wildest offensive year we've ever seen.
Kyle, I agree with you, man. We are seeing it. It's happening right in front of our face. But we also have to think about the environment that we're in. Defenses just aren't allowed to tackle as much as they used to at practice.
Tom Brady.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So when do these defenders actually get a chance to work on what they have to do for a living? Right? You can't do it as much in practice because of rules. You got this COVID situation going on around the country. So guys just aren't next to each other. And to me, it just takes a while in this new NFL for defenses to catch up.
At GMFB, that article, NFL.com, for Judy Batiste, says 56 things to look forward to. The other topic we're going to hit today, guys, is just the fact that it's week one. We are just days away from kickoff. We could not be more excited here at the breakfast table. Kyle Brandt thinks week one is a liar. Not always,
pathological.
Though. Peter, I'd like to know your favorite week one moment or game in NFL history.
This is about the announcer more than the receiver. This goes back to 2009. Bengals are playing the Broncos. There is 11 seconds left. One of the best parts about this past weekend was I got two doses of Gus Johnson, but maybe Gus Johnson's best call was Brandon Stokley's fourth quarter touchdown, Broncos Bengals. Mm. Can we get the clip? Yes, we can get the clip. Gus, take it away.
Orton bumps again to the sideline. Bat it up. Oh, God! Stokley down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokley, wow! Touchdown! Oh, my goodness, what a play. 87 yards. Whoa.
Did you just catch that? Obviously, win the game, the Gus Johnson experience. Now it's in the college ranks, but a little sleeper. Fox has given Gus a couple NFL games.
Okay, bye.
So
you might get a Gus moment this year, but yeah, Stokely, awesome.
Did we just watch Adam Morrison? Like, I can't believe, is that Tyus Edney?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Young fella, Steph Curry Davidson. God, that was good.
For me, guys, it has to be week one, 1999. Yeah, I was a junior in high school.
Talk about it.
Back.
Getting ready for my senior year. And this is when the world was introduced to the greatest show on turf, Rams versus the Ravens. People have to understand this, guys. The Rams in the previous two seasons were 9-23. They were terrible. Terrible.
Terrible.
Okay? Terrible. And then you see the greatest show on turf. Mike Martz was the offensive coordinator. I had Mike Martz in San Francisco. It's all about space and getting the ball to your playmakers. And I just remember being a junior in high school. I was also playing quarterback at Verona High School. Yeah, eastern part of Richmond, Virginia. Yeah, gotta give a shout out. And I was just thinking, man, this is Kurt Warner. This dude, like, can we play off? This is the new offense? I mean, they're just throwing the ball all over the place. Nobody's touching these receivers. And then, of course, you see all the Hall of Famers that was around Kurt Warner, who was a Hall of Famer himself. The greatest show on turf, to me, that changed how we look at offenses a little bit. And to Kyle's point, we're going through that change again.
To
right.
Kyle's
right now.
Point, that happened week one, right? That know. Just that wasn't quite a liar now, was it?
No, that's true. Sometimes I guess this slipped through. But again, over 20 years ago. Now it's taken on its lying ways. I'll go the next year. The pickle juice game, it's come to be known. In 2000, the Eagles go to the Cowboys.
Love it.
It was the hottest game on record. It was like 110 degrees in Texas. Oof. And Andy Reid had this remedy that goes back to God knows when of drinking pickle juice to
keep
you hydrated.
It.
See, Mike does it. I remember Jay Ajayi used to do it when he was on the sideline for Boise State. So they drink the pickle juice. It keeps you hydrated, keeps you from cramping.
No cramp.
But this is the wildest part of all. Imagine this. This is 2000. The Eagles go into Texas Stadium. Eagles, Cowboys, huge rivalry. And what does crazy Andy Reid do to start the season in this era of offensive innovation? Onside to start the season, I dare you this Sunday.
It's tough.
Andy Reid did it.
Special teams coordinator that day, John Harbaugh.
Talk about it, John Harbaugh. And then afterwards, Deuce Staley dropped 200 yards on the Dallas Cowboys.
Alex Van Dyke sighting.
Face, and it felt like a change in the guard. The Eagles dominated the East in the 2000s. The Cowboys had the 90s. But just remember, when we kick off this weekend, somebody might get wily. Who knows? Maybe Andy Reid again. Started with an onside kick, not to start the game, to start the season.
Well said at GMFB with your week one memories, your favorite games in NFL history, just moments within those games. Now, yesterday, guys, was the last Sunday for the next 22 weeks without football. I want to know the Sunday activity that you are 100% not going to miss now that football is starting up and owning our lives week in, week out for the next 22.
All due respect to Jack Cohn and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I was up all night last night watching an unranked Florida State team play Notre Dame, and it was fine, and
of
it was pleasant,
so.
And it was good to have it. It was. It's a good game. Good win for the Irish. I don't care about other sports. Like, I'm done caring about men's tennis. I'm done caring about on a weekend night, like, oh, my God, did you see what Giannis did? I'm done.
Tatis and San Diego Padres.
I don't care.
It's unbelievable.
The Giants and Dodgers played. I don't care. It's about football. So I am done caring about other sports and pretending to care about other sports. As much as I love the women's field in the U.S. Open, I'm not really
that
interested.
What about Khabib, though? Is he going to come out of retirement?
I don't care about the MMA. I don't. Jake Paul fought last Sunday night.
I didn't care about that.
I don't care about it. Give me football. It actually matters now. Real sports are starting this weekend.
About it.
There you go. Real sports. Football, man. It is starting. So for me, guys, I gotta make a confession. I just bought a crib, new house.
Congratulations. Right?
Yeah, man, got some acres and stuff
nice.
Like that, man, in Richmond, Virginia. And we just finished, and every Sunday, because it hasn't been any football, I've had to do yard work, guys. I had to cut grass. I cleaned the gutters a few days ago.
Dreadful.
I mean, a couple Sundays.
Gutter work is nasty.
And I got my roof super high, man. Mm-hmm. So I'm standing on the roof and I'm scared of heights. Mm-hmm. I hate yard work. I hate weed eating. I hate cutting grass. I hate all of that stuff. So I'm so glad the NFL season is back because
that's it.
No, I don't get to do that no more, okay? I can find somebody else to do it for me.
Good. Yeah. They don't have halftime anymore? You don't have to run out and cut the grass during halftime?
Let me tell you something. I would need a 4-hour halftime to be able to catch the game. Let's just say that.
That is amazing. I'll be quick on mine. We're going to see Bruce Arians and Mike McCarthy on Thursday night. I don't know how they do it because I coach 7- and 8-year-old boys in flag football in the fall, and it makes me so nervous and so stressed, and I am bound up so tight, and I haven't had to deal with that stress the whole offseason.
Yeah.
I am already nervous about our season opener, which is a week from Sunday. I got to get these boys to run this play and line up here, and we got killed last year. I cannot tell you how authentic I'm being in saying that. I have so much stress about coaching these kids in flag football. I don't sleep Saturday night, and that's why I have to deal with this Sunday, so that is now over with. My whole rest away from that, it is now the grind, and Crimson Tide, we got to win a game this year.
Crimson Tide. We need jerseys.
I know.
Can we get some jerseys made for this breakfast table?
We should have the team in here.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more official podcasts from the NFL, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.